When companies take a stand on immigration, sometimes it's words, sometimes it's more. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Stock in the German car and truck company Daimler is down nearly 4% now. BMW stock down 2.8%. Volkswagen down more than, let's check Volkswagen right now. It's down 2.9%. We can draw a line from this via Washington to the Chinese border. Let's bring in our Thursday analyst, Diane Swong, chief economist at the consulting and accounting firm Grant Thornton. Morning.
Good morning.
It's not a happy day for car manufacturers, particularly the German ones. Daimler said, hey, it makes trucks in the U.S., tries to send them to China, but the retaliatory tariffs in China are going to make it hard to sell that, and that's going to hurt profits. And other German car companies are also going down. We're going to see more of this, aren't we, Diane?
We are. Unfortunately, the way the tariffs are structured is they don't really deal with the fact that we now have a global economy, a global supply chain, and that companies in the U.S. do export abroad. And so not only are you seeing automakers being hit by things like the tariffs with China, but also they've got the threat of other tariffs on their parts. Wherever you're manufacturing in the U.S. or elsewhere, you're going to be hit in terms of the cost of producing your car by those tariffs.
Another topic, later today, the Federal Reserve will release its latest stress tests of the banking system. I mean, the economy is fairly strong. It still does those tests?
Actually, the tests get harder the more the economy does well. And part of that is due to the fact that this is when we tend to be complacent in the credit cycle and overextend ourselves. Remember the housing bubble? And so what the stress tests are designed to do, although there's important breaks for community banks to not make them as onerous, is to make sure that they're actually testing the banks to withstand a downturn. The downside is a lot of the credit that we see in the U.S. economy doesn't come from the banks at all, and that's not being tested at all.
The shadow banking system and beyond.
The shadow banking system, fintech, and beyond, it's become something much larger and much different than it was even in 2005 and 2006, when a lot of the credit we're seeing going to housing was coming from non-bank providers.
Diane Swong, chief economist at Grant Thornton, thank you.
Thank you.
James in Bridgewater, New Jersey, wrote to express his appreciation for the way that Marketplace presents business and economic news at the everyman and everywoman level and offers insights not provided by other news outlets. Now, if you agree with James, please join him as a Marketplace investor by donating online at marketplace.org. Thanks to James and everyone who makes our work possible. As you've been hearing, President Trump has reversed policy and said he'll stop the separation of children from parents at the border. But clearly, the controversy over U.S. immigration policy is by no means over. For starters, there are no clear plans yet to reunite children already separated. From the so-called dreamers who came to the U.S. illegally as kids to the detention of people trying to enter the U.S. illegally, immigration has become an issue so pressing that some large corporations have seen the need to take a public stand. American Airlines yesterday asked the government not to use their planes to move separated children. Microsoft has criticized the separation policy, but despite pressure from employees, its contracts with ICE immigration enforcement remain. Jake Grumbach is a postdoctoral fellow who's watching companies respond to current events at the Center for the Study of Democratic Politics at Princeton.
The moral calculus we have here, so when we say sort of how morally courageous it is for a company to change its behavior, how costly the action is really the key question there. So for American Airlines to really cut a contract, or if Microsoft, which maintains some contracts, were to cut contracts, those would be considered, you know, actually somewhat costly actions that are different than just making a statement.
It's a complicated time for corporations always, but particularly this time when the country seems so divided, a company can be seen as coming down on one side or the other in terms of the great divides in America.
Actually, that's true in terms of sort of, the political spending of corporations. So there's a range here of companies, of all of the companies where CEOs and other executives have spoken out against sort of the separation of families. So you have all the way from fully, you know, sort of wings of the Republican Party, organizations like the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, where the director Tom Donahue spoke out. Then you go to the sort of mainstream corporations, technology companies, other manufacturing that tend to give money to both parties, and they've also spoken out. Or other companies, Forward.us is sort of an initiative by Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook for to lobby for high-skilled immigration. Lobbying spending can also be a way that companies signal their policy priorities. However, immigration has really been a low priority, even of the companies where executives have spoken out.
Yeah, it's interesting because, I mean, companies have a stake in the immigration debate every which way. I mean, first of all, they want to get access to overseas talent. But in the other context of how America enforces its borders, you're saying this has not been the highest priority.
That's exactly right. So you see great sort of statements if you're a supporter of sort of immigration reform from folks like Tim Cook, who's the Apple CEO. However, when you look at the past decade or so, you know, Apple spent quite a bit, you know, $45 million or so on lobbying. Yet immigration has only appeared this past year, and it's been an absolute minuscule fraction of the lobbying spending. Much higher priorities are the usual low taxes, trade policy, the protection of their intellectual property and ability to store their intellectual property and capital overseas, those sorts of policy issues.
Jay Krumbach is a postdoc. He's headed to the Center for the Study of Democratic Politics at Princeton. Jake, thank you for this.
Thanks so much.
And the oil cartel OPEC's meeting in Vienna now. Oil in New York is down 1.3%, under $65 a barrel. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.